ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Years ago, during one of the playoffs in basketball, when I still watch basketball, the Knicks and Bullets were playing. And who knows why, one of the Bullets players came up from behind and he punches Walt Frazier in the face. I mean, come on. Of all people, you know, I'm looking at someone smaller to punch in the face. But Walt Frazier? Not only did Walt Frazier get punched in the face, we don't know why, the referee called a foul on Walt Frazier. Can you imagine that? I mean, come on. He just hit me in the face and you're calling a foul on me? Did he have the right to be bitter, full of wrath, angry? Yeah. Through human reasoning, I guess. What would you do in a situation like that? Walt Frazier didn't complain. He didn't retaliate and hit the Bullets player back. All he did was call for the ball. He put in 7 shots and won the game. You see, he didn't let his anger control his actions. And that's an important lesson for us. We're to put anger out of our lives, not let it control us. And again, put off the old man, put on the new man, put on Christ. And it's not easy. There's a battle that goes on. And that's what Paul talked about in Galatians, this battle between the flesh and the spirit. He wrote in verses 16 through 26, "I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." You see the battle? I mean, I'm sure we all face it every day. That battle in my life happens as I open my eyes in the morning. And it goes throughout the day. I have to deal with these things. And it's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. They're warring against each other. Now, for whatever reason, I watched like 5 minutes of the national news this morning. That was enough. I had to take another blood pressure pill. And they said something about Trump, and he had did something atrocious. And then they said this line, which just drove me through the roof. They said, "And we have not been able to verify this story." Well, if you haven't been able to verify it, why are you telling it? And I'm screaming at the TV. I'm like, okay, I got to go. TV off. Flesh against the spirit. It was a battle this morning. But Paul goes on. He says, look, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so Paul lists a bunch of things and he says, and the like. So if there's anything else that is the works of the flesh, man, that is not of God, that's in here. These are the works of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I'll stop there. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Agape love, unconditional love. And it's out of that agape love that we see joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We are not to build up the flesh. We are to crucify the flesh. The problem is the flesh loves to manifest itself all the time. You need to crucify it. You need to let the fruit of the Spirit flow from your life. And the only way the fruit of the Spirit is going to flow in your life is as you surrender your life to the Lord. So where are you walking, flesh or spirit? It's a battle every single day. Don't think it's not. I mean, before we were Christians, it was easy. There was no battle. It was just, hey, whatever the flesh wanted. Now, we're a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now I'm living differently. And yet the flesh wants to destroy my witness, wants to destroy my walk, wants to destroy my relationships. And I have to fight against it. I have to crucify that flesh. And whatever you're focused upon is where you're going to be walking. We need to be in the Word of God, be in fellowship with God, be with other believers in the Lord. And let the love, that fruit of the Spirit, that love, that agape love to flow from our lives. And then it's manifested with joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But for Samson, he was focused upon self. That was the thing that drove Samson, the flesh, instead of the Lord guiding him. And again, it didn't turn out well. In fact, it's interesting because studies show that feelings of anger increase the likelihood for heart disease. And within 2 hours of an outburst, the chances of a heart attack or stroke skyrocket. Can you believe that? I mean, think about that. So what is, why are we going to allow that to happen in our lives? Give it to the Lord, lay it at his feet. Much simpler. Now, is there a righteous anger or indignation? Yeah, there is. But most of the time for us, that's not the issue. The issue tends to be related to what's happening to me, and so I respond in anger. You know, righteous anger is when people speak against our Lord, or when there are atrocities done to others. And yeah, that's a righteous anger. But what about upon us? That's where you give it to the Lord. Lord, it's in your hands. But this was not a righteous anger at all for Samson. This was an anger born out of what happened to him, and thus he went out, killed 30 Philistine men because Samson lost his temper. But that's not all that happened, because he lost something else. Look at Judges 14, verse 20. And Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. What a sad commentary here in the life of Samson. Samson loses his wife. And at the close of Judges 14:19, we're told after Samson killed the 30 Philistine men and gave their clothes to those who answered his riddle, that he went back up to his father's house. Huh, what happened? Samson went down to Timnah to marry a Philistine woman. Well, now what happened? He went home to his mom and dad because he was angry at his wife for telling these men the answer to this riddle. How old was Samson? Well, we're not told, but he wasn't a child, but he was acting like a child, right? I didn't get what I wanted. I'm mad. I'm going back home to mom and dad. It's all because of what his wife had done to him. He goes home mad, full of anger. His wife was given to his best man, and Samson doesn't even realize that yet. Can you imagine the marriage counseling here? Oh my gosh. The Spirit of God came upon Samson, right? But I don't think he was really listening. He did his own thing, and it didn't work out well. He should have never married this Philistine woman. But as you'll see next time, because of what transpired here, the giving of his wife to his best man, Samson is again going to act in anger. And again, in the end, it's going to bring death and destruction down that path that Samson is traveling on. God wants to direct our lives, guys. And we need to not only listen, we have to obey, because it's for our own good. We don't always see it that way. But you know what? I can only see what's right in front of me. God sees the whole picture. And I used this illustration before, but think about, you know, Macy's Day Parade. And you're, you know, on ground level. You see the parade coming by. What can you see? What's right in front of you? That's pretty much what you can see. But what if I was up on the top of a tall, tall building? Oh, now I could see the beginning of the parade and the end of the parade and everything that happens in between. There's God. He's up there. And he knows the beginning from the end of my life. And so he is going to direct me for what's best. Believe me, with all the things that have happened in my life, I would have never taken those routes. But God led me on them because he knew what was best for my life. And when there is a joy in following him and obeying him. We just need to stay focused upon him. Look to the Lord. He wants to guide us with his eye. So it means we have to be paying attention to him. Not by bit and bridle, but by looking at him. So why did Samson not go home? Because he's trying to get back at his wife because he's angry at her. Someone wrote, chances are almost everyone here was angry at least once this past week. It may have been minor frustration with another driver or being irritated with your kids for not putting away their toys. It could have been a situation at work. Some husbands and wives live with daily anger and hurt feelings. Some parents and their children are in constant battle of outbursts of anger and abusive words. Many adults have hurts from childhood that keep bubbling to the surface. Every time they think about them, they seethe with anger. If you're thinking, who, me, angry? I'm a Christian. I don't get angry. Then you probably have a more serious anger problem than those who readily admit it. Yes, I struggle with anger. In California, an elder's face was red with the veins on his neck. They were bulging out as he angrily told me with a clenched jaw, I'm not angry. He said, I thought to myself, I hate to see you when you are angry. In the Christian Counselor's Manual, J. Adams states, anger is a problem for every Christian. Sinful anger is probably involved in 90% of all counseling problems. Think of what would happen if everyone learned to deal with their anger. Child abuse and divorce would be eradicated. Murder, terrorism, and war would stop. Many health problems would clear up. Doctors believe that anger can harm the heart as much as smoking and high blood pressure do. The number one predictor in cardiovascular disease, more important than cholesterol, is mismanaged anger. Besides high blood pressure and heart disease, anger can result in many other serious health problems. So our text is very practical. Paul says in Colossians 3:8, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. If you're honest, your reaction to this verse is probably, I agree. But really, how do you do it? It's easy to say. Paul, or put all your anger and abusive speech aside. But it's another thing to do it. Paul's advice here reminds me of the hilarious Bob Newhart routine where he's a psychologist and a woman comes for counsel because she's afraid of being buried alive in a box. Newhart's counsel for her phobia, plus several other problems, consists of two words. Stop it! He screams it over and over. Just stop it! She tries to bring up how her mother treated her as a child. Newhart says, no, we don't go there. Just stop it! Well, here Paul seems to say, you're angry. Just stop it. But Paul, when I was a child, my parents abused me. So now I seethe with anger. Put it all aside. But Paul, my wife nags me constantly until I explode with anger. Put it all aside. But Paul, my husband is a workaholic who leaves all the housework and dealing with the kids to me. He's so inconsiderate. I'm so angry with him. Put it all aside. But Paul, my kids sass me and don't do what I say no matter how many times I ask them to do it. The only way I can get them to obey is to yell at them. Put it all aside. But Paul, you don't understand. My boss at work favors his daughter who works for the company and he treats me unfairly. I get so angry. I just hate him. Put it all aside. It's as if Paul had taken lessons from Bob Newhart. It doesn't say that it will take years of psychotherapy to work through your anger issues. It doesn't tell these new believers to sign up for the anger management class. He simply tells them, put it aside. I wonder if we've made things more complicated than they need to be. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul writes to people from pagan backgrounds who had been involved in some pretty serious sins, which undoubtedly left them wounded and scarred. They didn't have to study Bibles and Christian books on how to deal with anger. There were no video series by famous Christian counselors. In fact, there were no Christian counselors. There are no magazines offering self-help articles or anger management. And all Paul says is put it all aside. That's amazing. Our relationships, especially in our families, are very important to the Lord. Don't live in anger all week long and then put on a veneer of worshiping God on Sundays. He wants us to put aside the old dirty clothes of sinful anger and abusive speech and to put on the new, clean clothes of love, kindness, and forgiveness in Christ. The Lord's Supper is a frequent reminder of how he forgave us. Even so, we are to forgive and love one another. Absolutely. That nails it. And here's the thing. If your relationship with God is off, then your relationship with others is going to be off. And you will see bitterness, anger, wrath in your life. And it's not a good thing. And you can know how you're doing in your walk with God by looking how you're treating other people. How do you treat them? And we all have areas to grow in. I don't want this. I'm not trying to beat you up here. None of us are like Jesus. But he's working on us. He's working on us. But if you're bitter towards others, then your relationship with God is off. Are you angry towards others? Then your relationship with God is off. Are you full of wrath towards others? Then your relationship with God is off. And some people would get upset with that. How could you say that? My walk with God is good. I've heard people say that, and they're doing the most outrageous things in the world. No, my walk is good. Well, if it's good, why are you doing that? Why are you behaving that way? Something's off. And I've said this so many times. Our relationship with God, that vertical axis is so important. It needs to be in line with God. Because there is the horizontal axis, our relationship with our fellow man. And let me show you how this works. As your relationship with God gets off, look what happens with your relationship with fellow man. It gets off. And this is with husbands and wives, wives and husbands. It's with family members. It's with friends. It's with coworkers. Are you in line with what God wants? Or are you doing your own thing? And you'll know how you're by how you're treating people. Now, just because you treat people nice doesn't mean they're going to treat you nice. But you're to love with that agape love. Jesus said in John 10:34-35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this all will know that you are my disciples indeed, if you have love for one another. Isn't it interesting? The key to being a Christian is not quoting Bible verses. It's not how big of a Bible you carry. It's not the Christian t-shirts you wear. It's love. And isn't that exactly what Jesus manifested in his life? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's love. And God says, okay, I want you to love like that. But, no. There's no buts. No buts about it, right? We are to love one another. I think it's so important, the love of God, according to the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, because we cannot do this on our own, guys. You know, I kind of said, just stop doing it. Well, yeah, but ask the Lord to help you to stop doing it. You look at the religions of the world, and they tell you everything you should do and don't do, right? But they never give you the power to accomplish that. Here's the difference. God says, this is how I want you to live. And now I've given you the Spirit of God to help you to live that way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Because I need that. I need that. Let me share this story as I begin to wrap this up. It's from Chicago many, many years ago. There was a young man that had really bad habits, and he was converted to God. He was a bad guy. And his life was so radically changed that there wasn't a soul who knew him doubted the depth and genuineness of God's work of grace in his heart. And he lived that way as a Christian for many, many months. But there was a stormy evening in November after business hours, and he was on his way home. And he was delayed by an open drawbridge. And guess what? A large, brilliantly lighted bar stood right at hand. Just there it is. And that's where he went before he was saved, all the time. But since he was a Christian, never entered the bar. But as he waited for that drawbridge to open and let him through, he stepped into the bar basically to get out of the pelting sleet that was coming down. But there were all the similar temptations he had before. And they closed around him. And before he was even aware of the danger he was in, he ordered one drink. And another drink, and another drink, and another drink. And before he left, he was intoxicated. And by the time he got home, he thought he wasn't even saved anymore. My family, my friends, the church will know all about it. No one will have any confidence in me. I'm disgraced, lost. Well, here's one of the lessons from this. Don't play with fire. Don't go to places God doesn't want you to go, because it's going to hurt you. This man came to saving faith. He let Satan tempt him. And it was devastating. He thought he lost his Christian faith, his Christian witness. Samson played with fire. He got burned as well. Did God use the events of Samson's life to punish the Philistines? Yeah, he did, but not to the extent that he wanted to do through Samson. Like I said, he killed 30 Philistines, and not for God, because of his anger. But what about this man who came to Christ and one day entered a bar and went back to his old lifestyle, his old ways? He was drunk. What happened to him? I mean, many would just not want to have anything to do with the Lord anymore. Well, the rest of the story, I guess. Two young men from his church who had seen him leave the bar came up to him and said, "Charlie, don't go home tonight. Come with us and we'll take care of you. We promise that no one in the world shall ever hear from us a word of what happened tonight." That's love. That's love. They encouraged him. They said, "God is going to forgive you. He's going to restore you. We're not going to tell anyone. No one is going to be the wiser of this." The next morning, he was himself again. He was restored, and he never yielded to temptation like that again. And he became a successful minister of the gospel. And it reminds me of what Paul said in Galatians 6, verses 1 through 3. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Did these men have to help this man out? No, they didn't have to. Why did they do it? They did it because they saw a brother in need and they came to his aid. They came to help him and restore him with gentleness. They didn't look down upon him, but they lifted him up. And the reason they could do that is because Christ was living in them and through them. They saw themselves as sinners, and they didn't look down on him. They weren't sitting in the ivory towers looking down. They were on the same level, realizing that by the grace of God, they're able to live and breathe and do those things that God has called them to do. And since grace had been given in their lives, they extended grace and love to this man, and he was restored. And here's the sad thing for Samson. He didn't have any friends. He didn't have friends to correct him, and he refused to listen to his parents, and he's not listening to God, and he's suffering the consequences. Anger is not the fruit of the Spirit. It's a work of the flesh, and it's not a good thing. And we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to obey the Lord and see the fruit that he'll produce in our lives. And if you don't deal with anger, if you don't deal with your rebellion against God, because that's what it is, you're going to suffer the loss like Samson did. But here's the thing. God wants to restore us and thus lay that anger at the foot of the cross and walk in the love of God and let that love touch the lives of others. You know, remember the story when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they were thirsty. You know, it's hard to find water for 3 million people in the desert, right? And so they came upon some waters, the waters of Meribah. And they were excited, you know, I'm sure they were down there ready to drink, and they were bitter waters. And what did God tell Moses to do? Take the staff and put it in the middle of those waters, and those waters will be healed. How does that apply? If you're letting bitterness, anger, wrath in your life, take the cross of Jesus Christ and place it in the middle of that situation and let God bring the healing. Take that bitterness, that anger, that wrath away, and may the love of Christ flow from us. Let's pray. Now, that's a difficult study. And I know I have to look at my own life, Lord, and see those things you want to change. And I'm sure all of us here feel the same way, that our desire is to be more and more like you every day. Less of me, more of you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for each person here. Strengthen them by your Spirit. We realize there's a battle each and every day. And help us surrender to the Spirit's leading. And it doesn't mean things will be easy, but they're what's best for our lives. Help us to walk accordingly, Lord. to let your word guide us by your Spirit, to let Christian friends encourage us and even correct us when need be. Because our desire, Lord, is to follow you all the days of our life. And Lord, when people see us, they see the joy of the Lord. Not bitterness and anger and wrath, but that joy that can only come from you. It's born from the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Thank you, Lord. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.